episode 51 of Tea in the Treetops podcast. I'm Annie.
And I'm Philippa, and this is the official podcast of the Tea in the Treetops book review blog. Today is Tuesday, and it's February 14th. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yay! Valentine's Day. Are you guys doing anything tonight?
No, we're not either. I didn't even realise till I read the date.
Oh, no.
Valentine's Day.
No, we don't really celebrate.
That's what 18
either.
Years does.
Yeah, yeah. Being together too long. Anyway, that aside... So in this episode, we're going to talk about Love Oz YA. And because last week we talked a lot about books that are coming out during the first half of this year, I realised that there weren't actually a whole lot of Aussie books in there, and I'd missed a whole lot in my big list. So we've got a bunch more books, like Australian books, coming out to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
So you want to quickly go through what we've been reading?
Sure. Sure. Seeing I have completely devoured anybody that's on Goodreads. Anyone that's on Instagram can see that I have totally randomly devoured The Raven Cycle.
Yeah. I love The Raven
Cycle. Which was funny because it wasn't where I thought I was going with reading when we did our last podcast. And the audiobook just happened to be available. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll just download it and give it a whirl.
And then
I got. I quite liked it. I quite liked the guy. The guy that did it. It suited Anglebee. Like, I don't know. I felt that it suited the guys.
Yeah.
It wasn't so great for Blue, maybe, but it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's funny because as much as Blue is pitched as that main character, I don't feel that she's a main character.
No,
I know it starts with her, but really,
she's only the. It's only really the first book that's her book, really. Like, she in the other ones, she's just there in the background, kind of thing.
I wouldn't say she was there in the background, but I feel that she, her light is dimmed next to the bright light of the boys. I don't know. Yeah. It was a great series. It was a really good series, and it set it up with such a great premise right at the beginning. It had me hooked.
Yep.
It had me absolutely hooked from that very first, like, you know, prologue.
I love that the mystery kind of was really gradual. Like, you just... You thought things were going one way, and then all of a sudden there was a twist, and you're like, "Oh my god, I never saw that coming."
Yes, I have to admit they've all kind of blurred together a little bit, so I couldn't actually tell you which part came where so much. But I don't know. I liked it. I liked the whole Celtic, you know, angle to it all. Gansby, as much as I thought at first was a stupid name, which is really what Gansby. I thought when I first I first heard that, and I was just like. What sort of a name is that? I don't care if it's his last name. That's stupid. But it grew on me. It all grew on me. I don't know. And there were some great twists that I totally did not catch at all. And
that's good because you usually do guess what's
I think
coming,
I do, yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. They were beautiful books. I feel like I need to go read some of her other series now because that's the first I've read of Maggie.
Yes.
She... And I feel like I should have read something of hers before
yeah,
this
too.
The
only other ones I've read of Maggie Stiefvater is the Wolf ones. The
Linger, Shiver. Got them. I haven't read them.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't think they're as good as The Raven Cycle, but I enjoyed them. I listened to them on audio, actually.
Yeah.
And the audio is pretty good. I also have The Scorpio Races on my shelf, but I haven't read it.
I need to read that. Really like the premise of this series. And yeah. I love a good psychic paranormal too. And I love that Blue was from a psychic family. And
yeah.
I love that. So... I don't know. And there were just some really nice little bits that weren't really important. But I'm so glad no editor cut it out. Like, you know, the way Persephone and Calla and I can't think of her mum's name. Is it Maud?
Myra.
Mora. There we go. The way they all randomly met on a highway. But it was so obviously not a coincidence. And I just, the whole coincidence thing, like, you know, I don't know. There was
time
just...
isn't a straight line. It's like a ball.
But, like, none of them knew that they were going there. But they, I don't know. There was just so many little bits that just really built to the richness of it. And I don't know. It was thoroughly good. Thoroughly good. So
excellent.
I'm glad I finally caught up to what the rest of the world or the rest of the Bookstagram world anyway seem to know, because now all I feel I see is pictures of that series.
Well, all beautiful over Bookstagram covers as well. Like, I just really want to get a copy of them, of the hardbacks, because they're gorgeous.
Well, I borrowed The Raven King from the library because I audiobooked the other ones, and oh my god, it was beautiful. The covers are just gorgeous.
Yes.
Yes. Mm. Oh, I'm so glad I read it. Anyway, so I devoured the four of those books, and they're hefty books. I'm just going to put it out there. Yeah. So I've read that. Then I read Caravelle by Stephanie Garber, which I had been totally excited to read because it came out in January. Waited, kept looking, was like absolutely stalking all the book selling places at Indooroopilly Shopping Town, waiting for this book to come out, of which they still are not out anywhere. So I gave up and I bought an audiobook copy of it in the end. I liked it a lot. I don't know if it's Night Circus material. Don't think it has that level of magic, like in the writing prose. I just don't think it. I don't know. Look, I loved it, but I don't know if I had overly hyped it, and that's maybe why it's been a little bit of a letdown. It wasn't as perfect as I was hoping it would be. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, I'll still pick up the second one. I still think the cover is absolutely sublime. I don't think it's a standalone. Okay. Look, my impression was this was not going to be a standalone, but I could be wrong. It could just end there. We'll see. I don't know.
Okay.
And I finished Carve the Mark, which I must have been pretty close to finishing. When we talked last time, I loved it. I think I mentioned last week, I think, you know, it's getting a lot of bad rap on Goodreads specifically. A lot of those people haven't even read the book. They're just deciding to dismiss it based on other people's reviews. It's really well written. It's not a black and white story. It's got a lot of layers. I think it's really good. You can tell, look, she's grown and she's growing as a writer, and I think give her another 10, 15 years and she's going to be an exceptional writer.
Mm-hmm.
She's definitely got passion. So anyway, yes. So that's what I've been reading what I've read recently. And I've just recently started, and I think you read this already, The Dark Days Pack by Alison Goodman.
Yes.
I'm about 20% in. Pretty good.
Yep.
And I've started on audiobook First Life by Gina Showalter, which this is the second time I've picked it up, and I didn't get a chance to really listen to it the first time.
Yeah.
But I'm about 30% through that one, and it's growing on me.
Oh, that's good. Growing on me. Read it as well.
It's good. And the couple
because the second one's coming out. Great.
The second soon. One must be coming out in the next couple of months, surely. Maybe March, April, maybe.
Yeah, we talked about it last
time. I think we did too. Remember. But I just, again, some of the covers of these books are just, some of those illustrators just deserve a big pat on the back. I don't know. They just make some exceptional covers.
Yes. Mm. Right. So I did read Lady Helen and the Dark Days Pact.
Yes.
The great thing about reading it, it was difficult to read the first part of it because I didn't have a lot of time to read. So I was reading it in snatches, which is so frustrating when the book is really like there's action and, you know, intrigue and secrets and whatever.
And when it's a sequel and it's been a while, you kind of need that opportunity to really get back into it. It's hard when you have a lot of snatches and little bits and pieces.
Yeah, that's right. It makes it really frustrating. But anyway, I managed to, I flew down to Sydney and back on the weekend. It's a long story, but so I had like a good few hours to read the second half of the book, which was awesome. So I plowed through that, and I was reading like the final climactic scene as we were landing at Sydney Airport. I was like, no, I'm not going to be able to finish it in time. But thankfully in Sydney, you have to taxi for like 10 minutes to get to the actual the gate. So I managed to finish it before I got off the plane, thank God. But anyway, that was awesome. Yeah, so if you've been listening to us for very long, you know that we loved the first one with all its regency,
tentacle drama, glory,
tentacles, and like demons and like
the regency was just done so well.
Regency romance. So the first one was in London and like the season or whatever.
Just want them to get it on, man. Anyway,
the second one is set in Brighton. So she's gone down to Brighton with the Dark Days Club people. For her health, which is what everyone
that's the story
society thinks, but in fact she's actually doing her training to be a reclaimer, and everything's going a bit weird with the Lord Carlston, and it's all a bit strange, and she's not really sure what's going on, and no one really knows. So
I don't really know. As I said, they need to just get it on.
And then some other people from the Dark Days Club show up, and the mystery sort of unfolds, and you'll find out. And it's awesome, and there's a lot of secrets and sort of twists, and it's just great. So I recommend blocking some time to be able to sit there and read it, because you won't want to stop once you get to about 80%.
Whatever. Better get through it in the next few days then.
Yes.
I've got to get through it before uni goes back.
Yeah, you're about to become very busy again.
Yes.
So I also read Norse Mythology, which is Neil Gaiman's new one.
This is a pretty covered one.
It's got a beautiful cover. I'm actually about to give away an extra copy of it that I had, which is, I think the giveaway is finishing tonight, which will be too late for listeners to go into it. But anyway, congratulations to whoever the winner is. It's a retelling of the Norse myths. So yep. Norse myths. So it's just a bunch of stories about Odin and Freya and Thor and Loki and all those yep. guys. So some of them we know because yes. especially from Magnus Chase. So it kept reminding me of that Magnus because a lot Chase. Of the stories were very Love similar.
But that's the beauty of Rick Riordan. He does such a great job of bringing mythology to
yeah, I mean, it's the
today's.
Real stories.
And,
it's
like, people complain that he jigs it. And I'm like, well, yeah, he jigs it to make it interesting for today's yeah. audience. But the actual mythology, because the Greek stuff is in there too in his other series, yeah. it's still done well enough that it, you know, is bringing it to a modern audience. I think it's That's fantastic.
Right. Well, these are very classical kind of style. Yes. Like, they're young people could read them. Like, kids could read it. They might be a bit heavy for some of them, but it's not violent. Like yeah. I was sort of thinking maybe it's going to be really dark, like
yep.
American Gods type, you know, okay. a bit grim, but it's not. It's light and yeah. funny. A lot of, especially the bits with Thor and Loki are just hilarious.
Yes.
So I recommend that one.
Still can't stop thinking about Thor the television junkie and Magnus Chase. I'm sorry. Yeah. I just love
That's
it.
Right. That's right. So I need to. I've got the second one of those. I need to read it. I'll get around to it sometime. I've got way too many books to read, as usual. Okay, so I'm almost finished. Freaks, F-R-E-E-K-S,
mm-hmm.
by Amanda Hocking, which is the lady who wrote the Trill series.
Yes.
I have not read those ones.
No, they've got some pretty covers too, if I remember correctly. I think I've seen them.
I think so, yes. I have no idea what those ones are about even. So this one is about... a group of people who are in a traveling freak show, basically, like yes. a sideshow. And it's like a carnival that goes around in motorhomes and sets up and does...
Yeah.
And it's paranormal. They all have paranormal abilities. Like
yes.
one girl can make fire in her hands and another one can levitate and all this stuff.
So is it a bit like Miss Peregrine's or nothing like Miss Peregrine's? Oh, because, sorry, that's all I think.
It's similar kind of... abilities, I guess.
Yep.
But anyway, they set up in this one town and there's something sinister going on there and people start getting attacked by a mysterious creature.
Well, this does sound like Supernatural, the TV show, so it should be right up your alley.
Well, I was about to say, it feels like a Supernatural episode because they're getting attacked by this monster that they don't know what it is. And it's not as good as a Supernatural episode.
Well, like, you are 12 series it's into Supernatural, right?
It's okay. Like, the writing's pretty good. It's engaging. I'm enjoying reading it. It's yeah. just the story. I'm just getting to the end going, I saw this happening. I knew this was going to happen. Like, it's... And yes. You're usually the one who knows what's going to happen. And I'm usually like, oh, I didn't expect that to happen.
I'm just going
to
put it out there, but I felt like I picked Caravelle a
did
lot
you?
Of it. Yeah, I did. I was a bit disappointed. Anyway.
Well, I'm up to like the very end of Freaks. So I'll probably give it 4 stars just because I did enjoy reading it. It was just, yeah. it didn't blow me away. Like,
because isn't this one set in the same world? Isn't that what that AAC
yeah, well,
copy says? So
I don't feel like I've missed anything by not having read the other one. Like some,
well,
you know, when
good.
You read some books then that have got other ones and you think, oh
yeah.
god, I'm missing some story.
But that
here.
Was like you with Magnus Chase. But those that have read the Percy Jackson series picked up thing. Like, do you know what
yeah.
I mean? Because some
yeah.
of the characters are in there, even if they're not big characters,
yes.
and it's not required, but it just
no, but
adds
you knew,
to it.
I
yes.
knew that I was missing things there because they kept referring
okay.
to things. But in
okay.
this one, I
you haven't I've, felt that at
no.
all.
I mean,
okay.
maybe I will by the end. I don't know. Mm. But anyway, yeah, it's okay. I don't know if there's going to be more of them.
Yeah.
But we'll see. And my review of that will be up tomorrow probably. Possibly before this podcast is out. So I'm going to read... I've got this Savage Song by Victoria Schwab from the library and I need to read it. So I'm probably going to read that next. But I also got...
It's been on my to-read list for a long, long time too.
I've got a copy of The City of Night Never Ending, which is the second Paladero book. From
these
Stephen
are the
Lochran.
These are the cowboy dinosaurs.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I love the first one. last year. So I'm really looking forward to this second one. It's just a continuation of the training, questing kind of deal. Yeah. And shall I try and explain? No, probably not. It's like kind of steampunky, kind of Wild West, dinosaurs.
Steampunk, dinosaurs, and the Wild West.
It's like an awesome mashup of all cool things. And it's aimed at sort of teens kind of thing.
Is it middle grade or not quite middle grade?
Well, I think they're a bit older than middle grade, okay. The actual protagonists. But
no, but the storyline, because a middle grade reader...
It feels younger.
Okay, so they could cope with the content, is what I'm saying. A middle grade reader, yeah. Because that'd have to fit some tween boys, surely.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think my son's going to love it in a few years.
Yeah.
Good questing and dino stuff. There's like a big T-Rex at the start of the first one. So if that doesn't
ride the T-Rex?
No, but he I can't remember if he kills it or if he... Ooh. He attacks him and anyway, it's awesome. So that's out already. That came out. We'll talk about that later in our list of things that are coming.
Sure.
So, that's what's going on. There's a lot to read. So much to read. Oh, my God. So, okay. So, Love Ozwaye is a hashtag and a group, like a movement mainly in the booksellers, I think, in Australia.
I don't think they started
readers as well.
I don't think they started that hashtag. I think that was started on Twitter or on Bookstagram, and then the publishers have gotten on board with it because it helps them sell more books.
Yes.
I'm sorry. It's a good marketing tool. They didn't start it.
It is.
It's fine. Tool. I don't mind a good marketing tool. Well,
it's
works.
Almost another genre at the moment. anything that's, YA and published by, written by Australians is automatically in the Love Ozwaye bucket at the
that's
moment.
That's right.
Which is great. Okay, so already out for this year in January was at the beginning of January. I thought that you would like this one, Philly.
Oh, yeah. It sounds Ida, very good looking at this.
Ida by Alison Evans is about parallel universes. So
see, you sold me already. It doesn't take much.
That's why I thought that you'd like it. So this girl, Ida, can shift between parallel universes and follow alternative paths so she can go back to something an alternate path of something that she didn't like and do it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
But she starts seeing doppelgangers of herself around the place. And so something's gone wrong and she's out of control. So I thought that sounded really awesome.
Yes, it does. I'm going to have to investigate this now.
So you're already adding more stuff to your to-read list.
No, I've got to find this because I'm like, is it... I haven't even heard of it before. I feel like I've missed out on something.
They had the launch of it a few weeks ago.
Oh, it even looks like the cover's really pretty. Okay, sorry. Continue.
Okay. Well, the next one on the list was The Dark Days Pact, which, in Australia it's Lady Helen and The Dark Days Pact, and overseas it's just called The Dark Days Pact.
Yes.
So in Alison Goodman. So it came out at the end of January overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't read the first one, The Dark Days Club, then get ye on it. It's awesome. And the third one for January I've got came out at the end of January as well. It's called A Shadow's Breath by Nicole Hayes. This one is not spec fic. It's just, I think it's a thriller. So
sounds a bit
thrillish. These young adult people had a car crash and then they have to try and survive in the bush for a few days. But it sounds very heartbreaking and terrifying, basically. I was reading the reviews for it thinking, oh, my God, I'm not sure if I will be able to read this.
It makes me think of John Marston, Tomorrow When the War Began type thing. Do you know what I mean?
Hunting. Well, I'm not sure what the actual storyline, like why it's so terrifying, because I read this a few days
ago. It's getting some rave reviews.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So that's already out.
Okay. Well, look, I know nothing about this book, but that's okay because you've thankfully put the blurb there for me. So February, this one is apt title for February 2 because it's Valentine by Jodie McAllister. And it's about four teenagers all born on the same Valentine's Day and they begin to disappear as the bodies mount up. Pearl Linford has to work out what in the supernatural hell is going on before it happens to her. That sounds intriguing. Supernatural thriller.
Yes.
That's always a nice page turner, generally.
And it's got some Faye in it as well by the sound of it.
Oh, yes.
Sealies and unsealies and whatnot.
And so they're all born on Valentine's Day. Well, I feel like we should have been plugging this today, considering it is Valentine's Day.
I haven't seen it anywhere in the shops.
No, neither have I.
I've heard about it. Like, I'd seen it on Instagram and that, but I hadn't seen it anywhere in a shop.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many books in the shops at the moment that I just want to buy all of them. Isn't that awful?
Well, this is really funny because I must be going to the wrong shops because I feel like it's the same books everywhere.
I just go to Dimmicks in if it's Brisbane not, City.
Well, that's a lot bigger than the one that I've got access to, but I feel like it's just Leanne Moriarty, Quidditch Through the Ages, Fantastic Beasts, Where to Find Them, and Carve the Mark. And that's all I see.
Yeah.
And then a bit more Leanne Moriarty added. So, the Neil Gaiman book's up there too. But I feel like at the moment they're playing it very safe in the booksellers near me anyway, where they're not... There's no debut type authors anywhere.
Oh, right, okay.
And I'm like, that's a bit disappointing.
When I was in Sydney on Friday, I managed to go to Kinokuniya briefly just before they closed. So we didn't have long in there. But I just wanted to buy the whole shop.
Yes.
It was awful. I walked out with Caravelle. That was it.
You did.
But okay. So I'm going to have to try and find a copy of Valentine somewhere because it sounds pretty cool. So then in February we also had, that's already out, The City of Night Never Ending, which I already mentioned. Stephen Loughran, Dinosaur Herding, Knights, all good.
Yep.
Get a hold of it. Then we have Garth Nix is coming out with a new one, a middle grade retelling called Frog Kisser.
Yeah, Frog Kisser, which I got a copy of. And I think the rights have already been bought to turn into like a musical.
A musical?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So I'm positive that's what the ARC form said.
So it's a Princess and the Frog, right?
Yeah, it's a Princess and the Frog, and I think they're going to be turning it into like a musical sort of middle grade La La Land type thing, I think is sort of...
Like a film or...
Yeah, wow, like a live action. So it's going to be like a mix between all the Disney live actions slash... Yeah, but I don't think it's just had the rights have been bought. I think it's going into production. Like, I think it's gone that next step. So,
do you know if it's an Australian production?
No, I think it's overseas production, I'm pretty sure. Mm. So we'll see. I could be totally remembering all of that wrong and making you retract all of that tonight.
Okay, I'll have a look.
I will reread it when I get home. But yes, it looks good.
Okay.
It looks good. And it came with a lolly and a frog.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Awesome. I love when they do random stuff like that. Okay, so I didn't actually have anything for March. I don't know what happened there, but I'm sure by March we'll have enough to read, so we won't need any new ones.
Don't give me any more.
At the start of April, we've got The Secret Science of Magic by Melissa Keel. So Melissa Keel is she wrote that The Incredible Adventures of Cinnamon Girl. Do you remember when I read that last year?
I never read it, but that looked great.
It was great. It was really quirky, and
it's
I loved
Borrow
it.
It's on Borrowbox. I keep seeing it and going, oh, I should listen to that.
So I guess this Secret Science of Magic is a geeky love story. So it's some girl who's like a genius or something in grade 12.
You did put a contemporary on here.
Yeah, I did, but it's sort of a geeky one. So it's
sorry,
it's
Annie had told me that she wasn't doing any contemporaries in this list.
Well, the thing is that the Aussie YA scene at the moment is very contemporary.
I feel
there's
that too.
There's hardly any like spec fic books out there.
I know. It's sad.
But the ones we do have, I've listed down mostly. That one will be out the beginning of April.
Yeah.
I will be hopefully getting a copy of that. And then...
Dracora, is that how it's pronounced? So this is, I haven't read the series. I know you've read the first two. So this is The Madoran Chronicles by Lynette Noni. So Arcane is the first one, which I have a copy, which you, I think, got signed for me. Thank you very much. I can't think which event
it
was.
Supernova,
one of those events, Supernova. Yeah. And I've got the awesome Arcane bookmark that came with it, which is very pretty.
I haven't got a copy of the second one, actually. The second one's Aurelia.
Okay.
So this is, if you haven't heard of
it's
them...
It's like a magical school, isn't it?
Yes, and in a parallel kind of world. And she goes through this door and she's suddenly in this other world. And it's an adventure kind of save the world type thing.
Yeah.
But so this is the third book. I think it's the final book. I think it's a trilogy.
Yep.
But the launch... Like, Lynette Noni lives at the Sunshine Coast, but she... the book launch is in a few weeks. It's like the middle of March. I can't remember the actual date, but I'll put it in the post. It's she is doing events in Sydney and Melbourne as well.
Yep.
So yeah, it's on, I think the Brisbane one's on a Thursday, and then the other ones are on the weekend like following that. So
yep.
So that will be awesome. I'm looking forward to meeting her again because she's a really nice lady.
Yep.
And hopefully I really want to sort of try and get an interview with her at some stage to have a chat to her about.
I should get on to Arcanae then.
Yes, yes,
actually read it. Yes.
But she's also just recently got a big deal in the US for her next series. Okay. She's working on another series, and it's going to be published over there next year sometime, cool. I think. And so that's pretty exciting for her.
Mm-hmm. So this is a Love Oz YA anthology called Begin and Begin. And it's edited by Danielle Binks. And there's lots of Australian authors that have written in this. So Amy Kaufman, Melissa Keel, who we were just talking about before, the geeky love story one.
Yep.
Will Kostakis, Ellie Marney, Jacqueline Moriarty, Michael Pryor, Alice Pung, Gabrielle Tozer, and Lily Wilkinson. Do you reckon it's going to be contemporary or a mix? Because some of those are quite contemporary authors. I feel
like
authors.
Amy Kaufman wouldn't like to write a contemporary story, but that's just me. I don't know. But, and
Jacqueline Moriarty's written both.
Yes. That Christmas anthology one, My True Love Gave to Me, that I read, that was partly contemporary and partly like paranormal kind of ones. So it doesn't all have to be the same. Mm. But
see, I told you, great marketing ploys. This stick the hashtag in the title, and absolutely, then all of a sudden they get some sales. Sorry, I'm not saying that it wouldn't sell anyway.
No, it just sounds like an awesome bunch of Aussie authors.
It does.
Anyway.
It does. The author lineup's fantastic.
Yes, yeah, so I feel like we're going to be seeing a lot more of this in the next few months.
Sounds good.
Okay, so in May we've got a book called Cyanode, which is by Marley Jane Ward, which is the follow up to the sequel to Welcome to Orphan Corp. Which is dystopian kind of, I don't know, it's a short, very short story. This girl has to escape from it or something.
This is obviously lots of mega corporations, lots of dystopian mega corporations.
Yeah.
World gone bad.
And this book, Welcome to Orphan Corp won the 2016 Victorian Premier's Literary Award for the Young Adult category. So
it's got some great review. It's got lots of 5-star reviews, so I think it might be worth checking out.
Yeah. And then in June we just have one called Ballad for a Mad Girl by Vicky Wakefield, which is a creepy paranormal story set in Melbourne, I believe, and high school kids who have strange things happen to them. So that sounds pretty cool. We'll hear more about that later, though, because it's not until June.
Yeah, it's hard to find information on these later ones.
Yep. And so, much later in the year, obviously we talked about this last time, but we have the second Nevernight book by Jay Kristoff, which is going to be called God's Grave.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in September. And then in October we have the third Illuminae book from Jay Kristoff. Again, he's a busy guy. And Amy Kaufman.
Yep. And she's got her own series coming out at some point too.
Yeah, I think it's next year. Is it
2018?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it was. I don't think it was titled or anything yet. I just saw an entry for it in I saw a very nothing entry for it in Goodreads. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
the ones without covers. Yep. The ones, yeah.
And I also found just before when I was looking at this that Paula Weston has a new book coming out called The Undercurrent. That will be out in August. So it looks like it's sort of an I think she told us about this last time we spoke to her as well. It's like a near future kind of sci-fi thing. I don't really know much
She's
about
good at
it.
The sci-fi, but, so I won't be surprised if it's science fiction.
Yeah, so that's not until August, but I'll be looking forward to that one.
Excellent.
I feel like I've got to do a reread of Shimmer and those ones. They're called Shadows and...
Yeah, the Rephaim series. They were really good. They were good. I feel like in the tropical climate, do you know what I mean? Because it just made me think of the beach. And
yes.
Yeah. Okay, sorry, just having a quick look at this untitled Amy Kaufman. It actually looks like it's more fantasy because it's got ice wolves and scorched dragons.
Oh.
And ancient ongoing battles of clans. But first book, not titled, published winter 2018. So we've got a while. No point talking about it or thinking about it at this point in time.
Okay. All right.
What a shame. All right.
So, yeah, that's
a wrap on the Ozway.
Yeah, if there are any that I've missed, I'm sure I've missed some, but please let me know because we like to promote these ones.
Yeah.
So we had some other news.
Mm-hmm.
Not related to Ozway.
Not related to Ozway. No, not related to Ozway. Okay, so
do you want to talk about your?
I'm going to talk about this. So I have raved before on the podcast. I've raved on Instagram. I absolutely adore this totally underrated series of fantasy novels by Megan Whalen Turner, which is the Queen's Thief series. Now, I'm just going to put it out there. Lainey Taylor mentioned this as one of her favorite series when we met her. And I'm like, exactly. That's if I'm not enough of a reason to read it, take Lainey Taylor's judgment. They are just phenomenal books. Now, the downside is Megan Whalen Turner does not view writing as a money-making, profiteering thing. She believes in her craft, so each book takes her approximately 5 to 6 years to write. So it's been a long time coming, and part of me didn't think we were ever going to get to book 5 of this Queen's Thief series. So I did nearly fall out of my chair when I discovered quite randomly that there is a publication date and everything for book 5, which is called Thickest Thieves, and it's coming out on the 17th of May this year. Awesome. It's incredibly exciting. I have to now reread the series. I'm never going to have time. I'll try and reread maybe the last series. It is not a series which is... It's not that they don't link. They do link, but... you don't have to read every single one in chronological order,
they're
really.
They're different characters,
Well,
right?
They've got different characters. Sorry. Look, it is chronologically timed. It makes more sense to read them in order.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like I could just read the fourth one again just to make sure I re-remembered all the characters, if that makes sense. But each one is set with a different protagonist, basically.
Okay.
Though the Queen's the thief, and I cannot remember his name, and it's a complicated name anyway, is the main character that flows through all of them. He's central and pivotal to each of the stories, and important, and he's wonderful. It's wonderful. It is really worth
that one.
Considering I have just totally rambled and not actually given any useful information, it is really worth reading. The prose is just... It's just beautifully written.
It's fantasy, right?
It is high fantasy. I still feel goosebumpy when I think about the end. I didn't pick the end of that first book. And I still, I know you read it, and it's not most people's favorites, the first ones, but I just got chills in this one section. I was like, I don't know. It was just so, I found it really epic. And yeah.
They're fairly short books, aren't they?
They're not long, chunky ones. I would say 400-ish pages.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Maybe 350, 400 pages. But you get a little bang for your buck.
Mm.
They're well thought out. Great. Awesome. Definitely read them. They need more. It's got a strong, hardcore fan base.
Yeah.
But it's a small fan base. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
And I just don't get why it doesn't make it out there. Maybe it is because it is quite high fantasy. Maybe it doesn't appeal to everybody. I just think they're brilliant.
High fantasy doesn't really seem
and
to me.
And I'm just
going to
also say she's been writing them for a long time. So even if someone had read the first book, they probably would have forgotten about it.
Yeah.
Did you ever read books like that when you were in high school? You'd randomly pick up a book, read it, but then not realise there were any other books? Because there was no internet really in the same way there is now.
Yeah, it was harder to find out about series and stuff.
Yeah.
Unless they were right there on the shelf.
That's
next
right.
To it, so, yeah.
That's exactly right. So feel like she would have lost a lot of readers that probably did really like the first ones only for those sorts of reasons. It's been 16
well,
something
like
years.
What happened with that Isabel Carmody series? Because I didn't even know. I read the first 3 or 4, maybe. And then she didn't, the next one after that didn't come out for a while. And then by the time I realized there were more of them, there were another 2 more kind of thing.
And I feel that way too, because I only read the first 2 or 3 in high school, and then it dropped off.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't till ages later that I actually then read them all.
Yep. Yeah, I think it's easier now that, well, especially since we're involved in
Yeah, blogging. But it's easy. There's apps and things that you can track and find out about books and realize it's a series. And
the bookshops send you emails that tell you what's coming out.
Yes,
and,
that's
you know,
right.
You get information in your face.
And when you're totally hooked on something, you can Google it and find out, oh my goodness, there's 50 billion other people that are also into it. And
yeah, I feel like now, like, reading used to feel like such a solitary thing, like you enjoyed this book yourself. But now with the internet, see, there are so many other people who also enjoy
reading. I don't know. Like, I never bothered finishing the series, but like, I was very into that Robert Jordan series.
Yeah, yeah.
The Eye of the World. And look, that was another one of those. I read the first one when I was about 14, liked it, didn't realize that there were a whole stack more.
Yep.
Read them again at the end of high school. I tried to keep up with it as they were very slowly released, and then I sort of gave up.
Right.
I think on book 9, I was like, I think I'd wait and when he's finished it. But they had a really strong when the internet first came out, like
okay.
When around 95, 96, so really early days, there was a lot of hardcore fandoming. Believe it or not,
yeah.
On those really revolting pages that had like a black background with bright blue writing and all the rest of it. No, like people had put up little HTML pages, but it seemed to be everything was like black and red and blue and white.
Yeah, the internet was painful in those days.
It was. And thank goodness for good graphic design.
Clean white pages.
Yeah, but
anyway,
I used to read a lot about
saying how old we are.
We have, haven't we? People are going, what are they talking about?
Let's go back to some young news.
Okay, yeah. So anyway, Thick as Thieves, Megan Weller Turner, read it.
Okay.
It's worth it. Take Lainey Taylor's word for it. And mine.
Okay, good. You should be in marketing. So we got, recently we had newsletter and some information from Bloomsbury from Sarah J. Maas. So last time I mentioned that there was a novella which is going to be about Kale,
which
is coming out
super
later
excited
in the year.
About. I was less excited about.
Yes. I'm still excited. But she came out and said that when she started writing this novella, she just couldn't stop writing it, and it ended up being like a full-length novel.
You Kaolina fan.
So, yeah. So, no, I don't really care about Aelin anymore. I'm just like, just all Kale, I think.
You're just like, you know, kicking the main character while she's down.
Yeah, oh, no, she's great, but I just don't ship them together, if you get what I mean.
They're better off separate,
yeah,
is that what
you're
saying?
She can do whatever she likes with Rowan and whatever. I don't like Rowan.
You've
that's another story.
It.
We can argue about Rowan later. So, yeah, basically this Kale book, which hopefully the title and cover and stuff will be revealed soon. It's coming out in September now, and it will be a full-length book. So this is basically going to be book 6, and the final book.
7 books, basically.
Yeah. So the final book will not be released until next year.
Okay.
In May, apparently.
Which is a bit sad.
It is sad. It's a long time away. But we are going to get a whole new book in the middle of that, so that's fine. And the Court of Wings and Fury will still... Wings and Ruin is still coming out this May. So
yeah.
I just saw a picture. She'd sent the final edits of the her proofs off to be published.
Exciting.
How exciting. It's not
far
away.
And there's a great... And I'm trying to convince my other half to get it as a birthday present, which he'll pay for early, but I'll get after my birthday. Because they've got the YA Chronicles...
Oh, yes.
Court of Wings and Ruin box, which I'm like,
I was looking at
They've
that.
Got a paperback and a hardcover version. See, mine are all paperback, so I'd have to get the paperback. But that sold me the fact that you could choose.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been too into Bookstagram recently, and I'm feeling really jealous of all these people unboxing things.
Yeah.
That's my problem.
Yep. Yes, I would love to actually receive a box full of bookish stuff in the mail. That would be awesome.
This whole book crate thing is just a really big thing now.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a whole...
It's
I
not
didn't
just
realize.
Books, though. You can get
all
sorts of stuff.
I discovered...
Toys.
Somebody I follow
makeup.
Has a Gilmore Girls fandom box, and they get all Gilmore Girls things every month. And I'm like...
Like they have the
it's
same...
It's called like Starry Hollows or something. And they get like all these bits and pieces. I'm like, I didn't realize Gilmore Girls was followed the same way people follow Doctor Who. But obviously, that fandom is strong.
Yeah.
Even though it's over, that fandom is strong. So there you go. Sorry, you know, I haven't got into it.
I've been looking at Tumblr recently. I should not, because it is a hive of scum and villainy. But there is so much. It's because when you start looking at fandom stuff, there is a load of like fan fiction and smut basically.
Oh, okay.
And it's like it's a rabbit hole that you
Well, that's like Reddit, isn't it?
Yeah, sorry, but at least Reddit's kind of moderated a little bit, so bad stuff goes down and the good stuff comes up.
I don't know. Our friend Zara is a bit hooked on Reddit, and she got me into trying to work out what on earth otherkin are, which is people that think they're like dragons and unicorns trapped in human bodies, and they very seriously feel this.
Okay,
and I'm like, I was reading what defines otherkin, and I was like, okay, this really is a rabbit hole of stuff. Mm. So there you go.
Anyway, I've been having a lovely family time lately.
I think. Well, actually, it kind of sounded a bit like Talon.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe they're not really dragons. They just think they are.
Well, human bodies, but she escapes and turns into a dragon.
Yeah, she does actually turn into a dragon.
That's
and
right.
flies. So
which
you
is
know.
What makes a book epic, right? We'd be pretty disappointed if there was no dragoning.
Yep, that's right.
I'm sorry, I've rambled.
Gone off
again.
Course now. Just wanted to say thank you to all the people who entered our 50th episode giveaway, and congratulations to the winners.
Yeah,
and we hope you enjoy
what
your books
book
and stuff.
Windwitch.
Windwitch. Yeah. And thank you for all your kind words, people who commented. It's very nice of you. Okay, so if you'd like to send us any feedback or suggestions for things for us to talk about, you can email us contact@teaandthetreetops.com, or you can tweet us @teatreetops or @oakenbookcase.
You can also find a list of all the books and other things we've talked about in this episode, as well as all of our book reviews at the Tea in the Treetops blog, teaandthetreetops.com. Thanks so much for listening.
And we'll catch you again soon.
Bye.
Bye.